I'm speaking to you today from the book of Acts. I'd like you to turn to the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, and I'll be reading three verses, 19, 20, and 21. Now, here's my subject for today, and it's an important subject, and I believe that after you hear this message, you'll probably want a copy of this tape. So remember the title. The title of the message is Repentance and Faith. Repentance and Faith. Now here in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is bidding farewell to his friends in Ephesus, the elders of the church at Ephesus. These men had been friends and co-laborers with Paul for a long, long time. And he knew, and they knew, that he would never preach to them again. He said, "You'll never see my face again." This is the last time that Paul will speak to these brethren. And he sort of sums up his ministry among them in these verses in Acts chapter 20. I won't have time today to look at this entire chapter, but I'd like to challenge you to read it at a later time. Acts chapter 20. And Paul is speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And here he is summing up the ministry he had among them. And he says in verse 19, he says, "I have served the Lord among you with all humility of mind." Paul never boasted or bragged on himself. He always said, "I'm nothing. I'm less than the least of all the saints. I'm not worthy to be an apostle. I'm the chief of sinners." And he said, "I've labored among you and served the Lord with a humility of mind through many tears and through many trials." These are the marks of a true minister. Humility before God and before men. Many tears and many trials. And then he says in verse 20, now note this carefully. Paul says, "In all these months and years that I've ministered to you, I've kept back nothing. I've kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." If it's in the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, Paul taught it. He did not shun to declare unto them all the counsel of God. He didn't hold back some doctrine or some teaching because it was not popular. He didn't try to please men. He said, "If I please men, I'm not the servant of God." He didn't cater to them. He said, "I didn't covet any man's silver or gold. I've just declared unto you, as best I can, all the counsel of God. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've kept back nothing. What God has taught me, I've taught you." And then in verse 21, now here's the verse that I want us to consider on this subject, repentance and faith. In verse 21, Paul says this, "I have testified to the Jews and to the Greeks, to all men, wise and unwise, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, Jews or Gentiles, religious or otherwise. I have testified to all men two things, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." I believe the apostle in that verse is summing up his ministry, giving the keynote of his ministry, the very keynote of his ministry. This is a summary of what I preached, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ came preaching, Christ preached, and it says in Mark 1, verse 14, 15, that our Lord came into Galilee preaching the gospel and saying, now listen, and saying, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." The Lord Jesus began his ministry with this message, repentance and faith, repentance toward God and faith in himself. And Paul is coming to the end of his ministry among these people. And he said, "This is what I preached, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, permit me today to give you six things which I believe the Scripture teaches about repentance. There's a lot of talk about repentance and faith, but not much defining of the subject. What is it to repent? What is it to believe? What is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, remember these six things. Here's the first one. Where you have one, you'll always have the other. Where you find repentance, you'll always find faith. And where you find faith, you'll find repentance. Someone said repentance and faith is like a sheet of paper. You can't have a sheet of paper without two sides. There's got to be two sides. And also in this business of a relationship with God, there's got to be repentance and faith. Repentance cannot be properly considered or preached apart from faith. And faith cannot be properly preached apart from repentance. If a man repents, he believes. If he believes, he must repent. Now, these are not mere words. Repentance and faith is an experience. It's not mere words. In other words, if you're writing a dictionary and defining individual words, then you can consider repentance and faith separate. You can take the word repentance and you consider it separately from faith, like sorrow or turning or reversal or conversion, repentance, contrite heart over sin, repentance, and you might consider faith. But if you're preaching and talking about a man's relationship with God, a saving relationship with God, you cannot have faith without repentance. And you cannot have repentance without faith. Paul puts them together here, and the Scripture puts them together. Listen to this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not he ought to be, he is a new creature. Listen to Christ. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, it's because you love me. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If a man has the Spirit of Christ, he belongs to Christ. And then when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, you turn from your idols to serve the living God. What he's saying is, when you turn to the living God, you had to turn from your idols. You had to. You can't turn to the living God without turning from your idols. You can't turn to Christ without turning from self. And if you do turn to Him, then you turn from self. If you turn from self and sin and idols, there's nowhere else to turn but to Christ. Now, we believe, and the Scripture teaches, that salvation is all of grace. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have any confidence in our works. We don't have any confidence in our duties. We don't have any confidence in our feelings or professions. But every believer, now listen, every believer has a genuine sorrow for sin and a genuine faith in Christ and a genuine desire to walk with his Lord and to glorify God in his life. Now, that's so of every believer. You cannot have faith without repentance. You cannot have repentance without faith. They are inseparable. If Jesus Christ is a man's Savior, he is also that man's Lord. For those two terms cannot be considered separately. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord and Savior. So if a man believes, he repents. And if he repents genuinely, he believes. All right, here's the second thing. Now listen carefully. Repentance and faith. True repentance and faith is a heart work. It is a heart work. Now this is a critical point. Critical point. Listen carefully to me. There are any number of people who attend church regularly. America's a church-going nation. This is not true in most nations where I've been. But it is in America. People still go to church. Any number of people read the Bible. Any number of people live morally here in America. Any number of people work and support their families and give to help others. And most people in America are religious. And all of this that I've talked about, attending church, reading the Bible, living morally, working, supporting the families, helping other people, being religious, keeping holy days, all of these things can be performed outwardly. Outwardly. Without any genuine repentance toward God, without any genuine faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, the Pharisees did exactly that. Our Lord said this to them. Now listen, in Matthew 23, verse 25, He called them religious hypocrites. And He said of these men, in Matthew 23, 25, He said, "You make clean the outside of the cup and platter. You make clean the outside of the vessel. You live morally. You attend the synagogue. You read the Bible. You pray on the street corners. You do all these things outwardly. You make clean the outside of the cup, but within, in the heart, in the mind, you're full of excess and extortion and dishonesty." That's right. On the outside, He said, "You appear beautiful unto me." And He said, "You're like whited sepulchres. You're like a grave. On the outside, you look good. On the inside, you're full of dead men's bones." He said, "You appear righteous unto men. But within, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And this ought not to be." Also in Matthew 15, it said the same thing. The disciples and the Lord Jesus were eating, and the religious Pharisees, who were married to their tradition and custom and religion, came to Him and said, "Your disciples didn't wash before they ate. They didn't wash their hands." And our Lord said to them, "It's not what a man puts in his mouth that defiles him. It's what comes out of his heart." And these men were offended because they were very careful to take care of all the outside religious duties and neglect judgment and mercy and faith and peace and joy and generosity and forgiveness and love. They were outwardly religious and they were offended. And His disciples came to Him and they said, "Lord," said, those religious fellows were offended by what You said." He said, "Well, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. When the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch." And the disciples said, "Well, tell us what You meant when You said that. That it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the heart." And He said, "Are you also without understanding?" He said, "What a man puts in his mouth, if he eats with hands that are soiled, or if he eats some kind of food that's not good, he puts that in his mouth, it goes into the belly, digested and cast out in the draft. But," He said, "what comes from the heart, that's what defiles a man. These things he puts in his mouth that goes in his belly and out the draft, they don't defile him. They don't touch his heart or his soul or his nature or his attitude. But what comes out of his heart, that's what defiles him. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, thievery, these envy, jealousy, these malice. These things come out of the heart. God looks on the heart. Not on the outward countenance. What a man thinks is more important than what he does. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Our Lord said, "My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart." And God looks on the heart, not on the outward countenance. And true repentance toward God, true sorrow over sin, true conversion, true contrition is a heart work. And true faith in Christ Jesus, love for the Son of God, devotion to Him and to His church and His people, that's a heart work. It's a heart work. The Lord is nigh unto them that be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When Samuel the prophet went down to the home of Jesse to anoint a king over Israel, Jesse sent his son David out to take care of the sheep. He was the youngest. And he wasn't very striking. He hadn't proved himself. He wasn't very experienced. He had 6 or 7 other sons that were older and experienced and handsome and mature. And he brought them before the prophet Samuel. And he said, "Well, you're going to anoint a king for Israel? Here are my sons." And Samuel looked at him, and he also looked on the outward countenance. He looked on the height of the man's stature, the strength of his body, the beauty of his countenance, or the experience of his brochure. And he said, "Well, maybe this is the one the Lord wants." And God said, "No." And he'd bring every one of those boys through there. And he said, "No," to all of them. Finally, Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all your sons?" "No," he said, "I got one more."
But I didn't think you'd be interested in him, so I sent him out to take care of the sheep. Samuel said, well, we're not going to feast till he comes. And David was sent for, and he came down and stood in the doorway, and God said, Samuel, there's my king. Man looks on the outward countenance. I look on the heart. And I have found David to be a man after my own heart. Repentance and faith is a heart work. It's a heart work. Attitude, more important than action. Manners, more important than the means. The heart, more important than the hand. Because the heart and the attitude and the nature controls these other things. These other things can operate mechanically, outwardly, with a detachment from the heart. But when the heart is right with God, this won't operate separately. All right, thirdly, true repentance and faith is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's God who works in us both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Listen to the scriptures. In Acts 11, verse 18, the apostle Peter had come back to the disciples and was given an account of his ministry to the Gentiles. And he told how the Gentiles had been blessed with a knowledge of the gospel and how the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. And one of the disciples said, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Who granted repentance? God did. Who gave repentance? God did. Repentance is the gift of God. Listen to Romans 2:4. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Do you know, my friends, that wrath doesn't work repentance? The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. It's not judgment that brings a man to repentance. It's God's goodness. It's God's mercy and God's love. Listen to Psalm 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Listen to Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What's not of yourselves? Well, the grace certainly is not of yourself. The faith is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Philippians 1:29. Listen to this. Philippians 1:29. Listen carefully. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's given unto you to believe. It's given unto you to repent. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. It's not judgment and wrath and miracles that produce repentance and faith. It's the grace, the mercy, and the love of God. You remember our Lord giving this illustration? He said there was a certain rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to the earth to warn my five brothers, lest they come to this terrible place. And Abraham said, they have the scriptures. They have the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the scriptures. Let them hear them. He said, no. He said, if one rose from the dead and went back and preached to them, they'd believe. And what did Abraham reply? This is the words of our Lord himself. Abraham replied, if they hear not the scriptures, if they hear not the prophets of God, they won't believe, though one rose from the dead. And my friends, that's true. Amos tells us that. God said to Israel, I've sent you famine, and you haven't repented. You haven't returned to me. I've sent war, and your young men have been slain with the sword, and you haven't repented. He said, I have sent pestilence and disease among you, and you haven't repented. Therefore, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. Let me read you an interesting scripture found in the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Now, you may have never seen this before. You may have, and just maybe hadn't paid real particular attention to it. But Revelation 16:8. Listen to this. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with a great heat. And they cursed God. They cursed God. They cursed the name of God. which had power over these plagues. Who had power over these plagues? God, to give them or remove them. And when these plagues came upon these men, by the power of God, they cursed God. They blasphemed God. Listen, and they repented not to give God the glory. This terrible judgment didn't lead these men to repentance. This fire from heaven didn't lead them to repentance. Their response was to curse God, blaspheme the name of God. They would not repent. You know what leads a man to repentance or a woman? The goodness of God. The mercy of God. The grace of God. The love of God. That's what produces repentance and faith. All right, fourthly. True repentance and faith, if it's genuine, it will acknowledge God's right to do with his own what he will. That's submission. That's what it's called, submission. You can use that word for repentance, submission, or faith, submission. And when the heart is broken, when the heart is broken toward God, and a person knows what he is by birth, what he is by nature, what he is by choice, what he is by practice, he'll cry out with David, Lord, who am I? Who am I that you should show mercy to me and to my people? I don't deserve it. That's true repentance and faith. That mercy is God's prerogative. I'll be merciful to whom I will. And the person who is really an object of God's mercy is amazed that God would show mercy to him. He never ceases to be amazed. And when trials and troubles come our way, we'll say with Job, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job didn't charge God with folly. And when God chastens us and deals with us as sons, we'll say with Eli, well, it's the Lord. Let him do what he will. It's all right. Repentance acknowledges God's right to do with his own what he will. And I'll tell you, in regard to this matter of salvation and the gift of life, we'll take our place with the leper, worshiping at the feet of Christ and saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. Salvation is not an act of your will. It's an act of God's will. Your will submits to his will. He makes you willing in the day of his power. Repentance and faith both come under the word submission. Surrender. Let God be God and every man a liar. All right, number five. True repentance and faith look only to Christ for all things. If it's true repentance, if it's a true experience of grace, then we look only, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we begin in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, and when we are perfected, it'll be in the Spirit. And we walk continually coming to Christ, continually looking to Christ, for all that the law demands and all that justice requires. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And even our growth in grace. And by God's grace, we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that makes no contribution to our relationship with God. It's the result of our relationship with God. God doesn't look with favor upon a man because his life is favorable. His life is favorable because he has gained the favor of God. God has shown favor to him. What he is, God made him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now listen to this. Here's the sixth one and last one. True repentance and faith will continue. Whose house we are, if we continue in faith. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You see, repentance toward God, repentance, true repentance, keeps on repenting. I have repented. I am repenting. Right now, I shall repent. If I do not repent, I never did. I have believed in Christ Jesus. I am now believing. and by his grace I'll continue to believe. That's the life of a believer. See, this repentance and faith is a state. It's not an isolated act. It's not just a one-time experience. We do believe. We are believing, and we shall believe. We have repented. We have mourned over our sins and grieved over our sins. We do now grieve over our sins, and we will as long as we're in this flesh. We have been saved, we're being saved, and we shall be saved. The hymn writer put it this way, repentance is a gift bestowed to save my soul from death. True repentance toward my God is always joined to faith. Not for an hour, a day, or a week do saints presumption own. For all the time the Lord they seek, their sins they grieve and own. Nor is it such an unknown thing as 'tis by some men named. A sinner may repent and sing, rejoice, and be ashamed. Dear Lord, we fall before thy face, our guilt and folly own. We pray thee for thy mercy's sake. In us, make thy goodness known. Repentance and faith.